first floor.
Good morning, welcome, welcome. We're waiting on about another 9 travelers today. We're going to gather you guys, talk to you about what's happening.
In Texas, abortion is now illegal in nearly all cases. In July, a group of women here traveled to neighboring New Mexico to get abortions, a scene that's likely repeating itself all over the country.
Today's a big day because you made the choice today. We believe you have the right to decide when, if, and with whom you have a child.
There are two Americas now, one with access to abortion and one without.
What's going on in our country is really crazy. The Supreme Court has said to you that you have no rights. And we are here to say that people of faith believe that you had dignity and worth and should have those rights, and we're going to do what we can.
2 weeks earlier, the Supreme Court had overturned Roe v. Wade, the decision that made abortion a constitutional right for nearly half a century.
It is about our bodies. It is about our autonomy. It is about our own rights.
The majority of the people in this country support women's abortion rights. It's the minority that has brought these changes upon us because they worked long and hard and they were effective.
It took 49 years for us to see the death of Roe v. Wade, but we saw it, right?
So you don't think this is about pro-life? I don't think it is. Then what is it about?
Control. They want to take away our rights.
Fault Lines examines what it means to live in a post-Roe America.
We've come full circle. Abortion is going to be illegal in Texas, and we're flying patients to New Mexico from Dallas. That's where I was 50 years ago.
It felt like someone who's been around for a long time and we've sort of taken for granted, and they're gone. And you feel like, I don't live in the same world anymore.
We traveled to Texas to witness the end of Roe v. Wade.
Mississippi's lone abortion clinic plans to close today following a state legal battle. And in Iowa, courts are wrestling over a proposed 24-hour waiting period for procedures. A lot in flux.
Texas has had some of the most restrictive abortion laws in the country. And it's where the landmark case was born in 1970. Now there's a near total ban on abortion here, even in cases of rape and incest.
June 24th, we learned that Roe was reversed. Take me through that morning.
I was just getting ready to walk out the door and I got the text from my office manager and just said Roe overturned. I came into the clinic and it was so quiet. It felt like the air had been sucked from the room.
I know.
All of us were in different stages of grief, but at the same time having to tell the patients what's going on.
Yeah, not in the state of Texas, like at all.
It's been a complete roller coaster ride. I mean, the law and everything is changing around us. I have no idea what the future holds for our clinic.
The Supreme Court decision means abortion rights are up to each state to decide, setting off legal chaos.
Give me 1 second, I have to place on hold.
Kind of in limbo right now with our lawyers.
Okay.
Trying to get...
The Austin Women's Health Center stopped providing abortions on the day Roe was overturned. But 4 days later, they got some news.
So I cannot tell you that information over the phone.
Okay, cool. So we are able to see you for the initial consultation for the abortion today. Are you available to come in today?
What just happened?
So essentially, it sounds like we may have been given clearance, so we may be able to go ahead and do abortions today. We know that this may not last for very long. The state can come back and overturn that, but we've started calling patients to say, come on back in if you want to.
Order, and for now, we are able to resume services.
We don't know how long that will last, but if...
Well, we're not sure. We can have up to a couple hours. We can have up to a couple days. It really just depends.
And so people could actually get here and then they could reverse it while patients are sitting here.
Yes.
And then what would happen?
We'd have to tell them no and send them away again.
We'll just have a good matter of today kind of thing.
And then we don't know how
if
much
you're able to come in for the appointment today, we can definitely fit you in for today.
This 27-year-old patient is relieved she was able to make it in.
There's no way I feel like I could comfortably bring a human being into this world. I'm not opposed to it, you know? It's just, I'm not ready, and I feel like it's my choice to be ready. So I don't have to put up a kid in adoption where there's like an overflow system. So I feel like this was my only option that I felt comfortable with.
She first came in last week. But the next day, Roe was overturned.
It happened on Friday, so I was completely freaking out. I was like crying. I didn't know what to do. I've been asking friends in Mexico if they could get access to something down there, asking friends in Colorado, California, if I could like stay with them a couple weeks. Definitely living in a nightmare right now. It's like, what's next? Like, what else are they gonna, you know, take away from me?
She asked us not to identify her because she's afraid of facing criminal charges. Under a Texas law that was passed last year, private citizens can be awarded up to $10,000 for reporting anyone involved in an illegal abortion.
You can come back this way with me. We're just going to go straight into this room.
I took extra precautions so they couldn't track me technology-wise. I downloaded a VPN that made me seem like I'm in California. Like, I bought like a prepaid credit card to buy a virtual mailbox in California just in case I needed to ship the abortion pills there.
And when you got that call saying that you could come, how did you feel?
A little still scared on what may happen to like the doctors in the future, me in the future, but very relieved that I'm given another opportunity to do this while this chaos is happening.
I've spoken to a lot of people here who are absolutely terrified about what this new ban is going to mean for them. They're afraid that they're going to be spied on by the government or by their neighbors and criminalized for ending their pregnancies. There's a lot of confusion and misinformation out there about what is going to happen to them. And the stress here is really palpable.
Abortion access is very different now than before Roe. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have abortion pills. So what is happening is that abortion has been turned from a healthcare issue into a policing issue. People do have a digital trail, and if there is a local prosecutor who does want to pursue charges against someone, then people do have to be careful.
For today at least, Dr. Rubino can give this abortion pill to her patient.
All right, and this one, you just swallow it like a regular pill.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It would be one of the last times she could do that here.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, I will. Come on in here. Oh, man, I'm so glad we got you in.
Thank you.
You're welcome, hon.
It's really punishing women in an extraordinary way.
Are you feeling okay?
Yeah, I was just crying because I'm, like, relieved. You know,
and it's not just that they're going to just settle down and have babies. They were getting abortions before Roe v. Wade. They're going to be getting them in about the same numbers after, if history holds true. It's just a matter of where they're going to get them, how they're going to get them. Many of them will get them at much higher risk to their health and life. And they post news all the time. And they
talk. Dr. Curtis Boyd has been an abortion provider for more than 50 years. As a young physician in Texas in the 1960s, he witnessed the impact illegal abortions had on women.
There were a lot of women having abortions before Roe v. Wade, and we didn't realize that because they showed up at the emergency room. We thought they were having a miscarriage. They were incomplete abortions.
And when Roe v. Wade was passed,
those women disappeared. Those wards at the hospital emptied out.
For decades, he and his wife have run abortion clinics in Texas and New Mexico.
This center that you're showing me is the first clinic that was opened in Texas, after Roe v. Wade.
After Roe v. Wade. Yeah, that's right.
In that time, they faced threats of violence and a stream of abortion restrictions.
It's been a
getting
cascade.
Worse.
It's, exactly. It's been a cascade.
Kept escalating.
When we started in the 70s, the assumption was that a freestanding abortion clinic would be necessary for a few years, but abortion would be part of mainstream medicine. Our work would be done and we could move on to whatever we chose next. You know, it wasn't what we expected at all. Mm-hmm. I think very few people prior to Trump's election foresaw a complete reversal of Roe versus Wade. This is a very frightening time to face the possibility of getting pregnant.
This is actually the capstone to securing women's full rights. The right to control their own body and being able to ultimately make that decision for themselves. And if a woman can't do that, she's never going to receive ultimate equality.
Are you ready to take care of a child? Is the situation you're in really healthy and suitable for this baby you're finna bring in? Are you okay if the dad doesn't stay and walks out? Can you afford to pay the rent? Are you gonna be able to put food on the table? Like, a lot of people don't understand, it's a lot that comes with that, because when you have a kid, it's no longer just you.
The birth control.
Shay became a single mom at 21.
I struggled when I had my son, and then his dad didn't make it no better, you know, and I'm working two jobs sometimes, and like, it's a lot, because you're not spending time with them. That's why I had to strive to be something different, better. Like, I needed to get more money, because it wasn't gonna work. It wasn't.
Now at 40, she found out she was pregnant again, the day after Roe was overturned.
I'm ready to live life. My son's about to be 19. I ain't trying to start over. I'm good.
It's just not what you want.
It's just not what I want. I should be able to figure out what I want to do with my body. And no one should have that right to tell me.
To get an abortion, she has to leave Texas. And the only state that borders it where abortions are still legal is New Mexico. It's one of a number of so-called sanctuary states now inundated with abortion patients from across the U.S.
These are states like California, or really all of the West Coast. It's the Northeast, the Mid-Atlantic. It's Illinois, Colorado, New Mexico. These states are holding back the tide of abortion bans to the best of their ability.
It's hard for any woman. You know, if she's got to go out of states, it's more expensive. She's got child care, maybe. She's losing work. So all of that's a hardship for any of us. But for lower income women, it becomes impossible.
There are a number of programs to meet the need, including one by Dr. Boyd and a religious coalition.
Good morning, welcome.
They're flying patients like Shay to the Boyd's Abortion Clinic in New Mexico. The trip will take them 17 hours. Patients qualify based on their income. Travel costs and a portion of their clinic fees are covered with the help of donations.
They fly in the morning, get their abortion that day, fly back in the late afternoon. So we want to demonstrate that it can be done.
This is the first group the Religious Coalition is taking to New Mexico since Roe was overturned.
Things are a little different now that the Supreme Court decision has come out. So just be as discreet as possible. I always say that we're a women's church group and we're going to meet our sister church in Albuquerque, and that's all they need to know.
There's some uncertainty about the legal and safety risks of helping people travel for abortions.
Is there anybody who hasn't been on an airplane before? Raise your hand. No? Yes? Have not been on an airplane?
These women are putting their life on the line to get their life in order.
We do not believe you are sinners.
Don't feel like you're doing something bad. Look at this as a way for you to be a better you.
That your life matters.
We kindly ask all our guests to please proceed to gate 159 as aircraft is in the boarding process.
The hard thing is many women will not be able to find help because there won't be enough money to go around.
So are you guys starting to see a lot of more traffic coming through?
So much more.
So much more now. What is next? Because we are losing rights by the day. And this is crazy. I'm a Christian too, but they're making you feel like you're doing something you shouldn't do, and that's not true. They're only looking at one thing. I don't understand how you kick back something that's been in effect for so long.
What we had in 1973 was an understanding that abortion was in this scope of privacy in somebody's life where the government cannot interfere. And now that has been undermined substantially, meaning that these other rights around, whether it's LGBTQ, contraception, marriage, may be at stake.
It is not our job to carry young women across state lines so that they can get an abortion that they cannot get in their state, because now this right has been taken away.
What's going to happen is we'll go back to seeing illegal abortions in Texas.
This is going to lead to women dying. This is going to kill women. This is going to kill.
There will be a higher rate of complications and a higher rate of death. And many women will not be able to get their abortion and will go ahead and deliver their baby, which is what the state wants.
Officer, Ms. Messenger, can I help you?
It's now 5 days post-Roe at the Austin Women's Health Center, and the phones haven't stopped ringing.
I have to place you on hold. Give me 1 second. Austin Women's Health Center, how can I help you? Okay, give me 1 second. I have to place you on hold.
Just 24 hours before, a state court had granted them clearance to continue performing abortions for a short time.
It's very chaotic everywhere.
Now that time is up.
So, as most of you are aware, yesterday we got the temporary restraining order, but last night, basically they said that they still intend to prosecute abortion providers, or try to, that provide abortions during the time when we have the restraining order, which is completely unprecedented, but this is, like, scary time, so we don't know what people will do or not do, and so we're taking a pause. We had patients scheduled. We're going to call them, let them know that right now we're in another holding pattern.
Their lawyers warned them they could face fines of $100,000 and up to 5 years in prison for providing an abortion.
You know, I'm usually pretty much full steam ahead, but I, you know, yeah.
Don't want to go to jail.
I don't want to go to jail. I don't want, yeah, yeah. We gotta protect ourselves.
Well, this is all happening within 24 hours.
Within hours, yeah.
Within hours.
Yeah. And all because they're making all of these laws so unclear for us. It's all on purpose to cause this chaos. To, you know, they have one goal in mind, take away our rights, and that's it. That's what all
this
is for.
There's like mass confusion right now. It's completely chaotic.
Absolutely.
For the providers and for the patients.
Yeah.
And this is it for now.
For now.
For now.
Till I hear otherwise.
You can look for the for today. We have to call and
but unfortunately that has been overturned, so we're back to not providing abortion services.
I know, I'm sorry.
Do you want some information? I can give you like some websites that you can try.
Have you had any other ultrasounds with this pregnancy?
No.
Okay.
With Dr. Rubino no longer able to provide abortions, she does what she can to help her patients find other options.
And you're thinking you're pretty early, right?
Yes.
From what you know.
Courtney is 37 years old and 4 weeks pregnant.
Where are you in your decision-making process? I mean, have you, like, made a decision?
My decision is all over the place, because, honestly, the law is all over the place. So,
It changes everything. When you stop someone from having the choice of their own pregnancy outcome and you force them into your choice, here's where we get into kind of some tricky areas. Uh-huh. Yeah, obviously this whole thing is tricky. We have such inequality that for some it's as easy as, okay, let's take a weekend trip to Colorado to get your abortion. And for someone else, it's a completely life-altering thing that you have no control over and you're forced to give birth. The trajectory of those two people's lives are completely different.
Yeah. Well, the drive is so far.
Yeah.
I don't see myself taking no plane to New Mexico. So the drive,
right?
12 hours there and 12 hours back, getting a hotel, food, gas, and I'm not doing all that. Yeah. I'm just gonna keep it if I can't get it done because I don't think it's worth it.
Like the majority of women seeking an abortion, Courtney's already a parent, and she isn't sure she wants to become one again. Especially since she lost her job just days before.
Is this something you've been kind of like worrying about?
Yeah, because it's not something that was planned, and I only found out about this 2 days ago.
So you have barely had time to even process.
Yeah, I'm still in shock.
She doesn't have any family support nearby, and her relationship with her boyfriend is unstable.
So what are you going to do?
If I'm not able to get it, I would be looking into the daycare options, babysitter, and find out what people do that work overnight.
So maybe you would just have it?
Yes, I would.
When people cannot travel for abortion care, we will see people carry to term. And these states are ill-prepared to help these people with a new baby. We do not have the safety net that we need to support these families. And so this is going to be incredibly difficult for these patients.
When we last spoke to Courtney, she told us she decided to travel to get an abortion. But clinics in the three closest states were booked for weeks.
I packed my bag so I can head out to Florida, and I'm about to leave.
She drove for more than 2 days from Texas to Florida by herself.
I am nearing Interstate 10, which is the interstate I'm gonna take.
People who have been making these laws and carrying on this whole culture have never really cared, still don't care. We mean nothing to them, nothing.
This is not over. People will be fighting back to support abortion rights and to roll back these bans.
We have been plummeted to the bottom of a cliff, and we have to claw our way up again. Already, the things we were told that would make a post-Roe world manageable are falling like dominoes, and more is coming.
We have to defend against all of that as much as we are looking to protect and expand access to care. But for abortion opponents, it's also not over. They are not satisfied with the overturning of Roe.
If they want to fight, we'll give them a fight.
They want to further stigmatize and criminalize abortion.
I'm looking at this parking lot here. It's a lot of Texas plates out there. That people from Texas are coming here to get an abortion. And we're gonna do everything we can to make sure that an abortion-free state is not just reality in Texas, but reality in New Mexico as well.
It's this great movement that's been being carried on that we didn't really recognize. I mean, they've had a long plan and they executed it.
We love you and we're praying for you guys. Please come and talk to us.
So now we've got a long, hard row ahead of us. The Supreme Court is not our backup now and won't be for a long time.
Even though the majority of us do not think this is right, we don't have the power anymore.
So start looking at what's next. We're going backwards. We're not going forward.
It's a very disturbing time to be an American when I feel like this is not my America. This is not the country I was raised in or raised to believe in.